motion to review a motion. Are we on?
Okay.
So it's live on Zoom.
Watch it doesn't shut down.
What's that? So we're moving to adoption of minutes from previous meetings.
Did we skip number 8?
Yes, well, I didn't think there was any. I didn't see anything, so.
Okay.
There's nothing.
Okay, good. Thank you. I just want to be sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Point. So we have Resolution 2202 being resolved that the Council of Township of Carter hereby approve the minutes of December 14, 2021 regular meeting of Council and December 16, 2021 special closed meeting of Council. Mover and a seconder, please. Second. You need somebody to second.
Can I get rid of that?
There we go. It was quicker.
What's that?
Any discussion?
Formally, I remember that.
Yes.
Just one correction. Page 5 of 10, the resolution 21471 should not be included in the minutes.
Okay.
Motion and resolution must be seconded in writing before presiding officer may request a vote or a resolution may be recorded in the minutes.
Okay.
So that one should be
okay.
Removed from the minutes.
Okay.
This
one. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Resolved that the Council of the Township of Calgary does hereby approve the minutes of December 14th, 2021, regular council meeting of Council, December 16th, 2021, special closed meeting of Council, after removing resolution number 21-471, which should not be reported. Any discussion? Call a question. All in favor? Carried. Thank you. Moving into planning matters, we have the consent application B47-2021. I'm going to ask Mr. Jackson to fill us in with anything about this application. John, are you there?
Oh,
you lost him.
Recording in progress.
Hi, John. It's Mayor Hopkins. Can you speak to the planning consent application from Mon Surveyors?
I saw him up there earlier.
Recording in progress.
Hi, John.
Good evening, Your Worship, Council.
Yeah. We're on the Mahan Surveyor's report, and I want you to take us through it, please.
Recording in progress.
Thanks to Councillor Moore, who and I were discussing date. I'm just going to point out a clarification on the showed an after addition change in the table on page 3 of the report that showed 32 meters on the chart after, but it's 30. I noted that the retained lands are going to have a sub 20 meter frontage and less than 1,800 square meters of area. That will have some conflicts with the bylaw. So I contacted the applicant's agent, and he believes that he can dogleg those lines so that the actual conflicts with the bylaw can be corrected. And I would suggest that we will add a condition that the retained lands comply with the requirements of the zoning bylaw. So if there is a problem, and they can't get the required frontage on the road of 20 meters where 16 is shown, or they can't get the additional 200 square meters of area, they could go through a variance, and that allows that kind of condition allows that flexibility. So what I'm recommending, Your Worship, is that we add a condition that the retained lands comply with the requirements of Keller's zoning bylaw. But any other questions, I'll be happy to address them.
Okay, yeah, I'll just wait until she writes this down so we can keep that forward. Okay, go ahead, Rich.
John, it's Rich. You hear me?
Yeah, fine, thanks.
I'm wondering because not only because of where the existing lot, or the proposed lot line is in the map that we have on the lots that we have here, that where it was proposed, but now there's going to be a new one that's going to change that. I'm wondering if there shouldn't be a condition for a surveyor's real property report to make it easy for the chief building official to verify that the new lot lines won't change the zoning bylaw there either. Impinge on the requirements for the setbacks from that new property line.
I think they're going to survey it anyway, so that wouldn't be an onerous request.
Mm-hmm. I think it makes it easy for him.
I would agree with that. I don't know that the structures that are shown there have survey accuracy. They kind of look more or less like a sketch. Which would not be the case in a real property report. It would be accurately depicted.
Which makes it even more more important to have a real property report than to me.
I would agree with that.
So we're going to add that on as a condition?
Yeah, I would add that as a condition so it's clear to the applicant and their agent.
Can you provide the wording, John?
The wording would simply be that applicant prepare a real property report for the severed and retained lands. And in the industry, that means showing all the building structures, improvements, et cetera, on both properties.
The only thing I'd add to that sign is put surveyor's real property report.
Okay.
Okay. Any further questions from members of council? Okay. Ready for the
you do have to ask
that resolution to put
you don't have to ask for public comment here, no?
No.
I just know that. No.
So we have resolution 2203. Be it resolved that the Council of Township of Calgary hereby recommend that the consent application for a lot addition as applied for an application number B47-2021 McKellar by EDC Custom Contracting, Inc. be recommended for approval subject to the following conditions. Confirmation that the lot addition form Part 10 be merged in title with the benefiting lot. 2. Payment of all applicable planning fees. 3. Retained lands comply with the requirements of McKellar's zoning bylaw, and 4, the applicant provides a surveyor's real property report for the severed and
retained
lands. You approve and second it?
Yeah, and that's after bylaw. We've got 2 of them. So it should say bylaws.
Okay. Moving and mover to second it, please. First mover. Second. Mr. Redden. Any further discussion? All in favor? Carried. Thank you very much. Thanks, John.
Thanks, Council.
Thank you. There's no committee reports with minutes or recommendations. Okay. So we have staff reports. First one is the amendment to the procedural bylaw 2021-28. Want me to put it on the table before we discuss it?
Yeah.
I think we should. Okay. Resolution 2204 be resolved that the Council of Township McKellar has hereby received the staff report. Admin 2022-01, amendments to the procedure bylaw number 2021-28 for information. You need a mover and second? Is anybody going to read it? Yes. Whoever read it first.
You need a mover and second? Or
yeah, I need before I got to put it on the table. Yeah. Okay. Need somebody to move it and second? Councilor Kaplan, second? It's long, so bear with me. Amendment to the procedure bylaw 2021-28. Recommendation that the Council of Township of McKellar is hereby accept and adopt the recommendation of report amendment 2021-01 to amend procedure bylaw 2021-28 with the following. 1. Deleting section 6.6 in its entirety and replacing it with the following, 6.6. No item of business may be dealt with at a council meeting after 10 p.m. council may on a majority vote of those present extend the hour of closing to address only the matters of business on the floor at the hour. That such vote is to extend the curfew is taken. All remaining matters of business will be placed at the next regular meeting under unfinished business unless set to a subsequent meeting by resolution of the members present. 2. Delete section 6.4.1 in its entirety and replace it with the following. 6.4.1. In the event that the clerk receives items for a closed meeting, they shall be placed on the closed meeting agenda and shall be provided to members within the regular with the regular agenda package in a separate closed agenda package marked confidential. Do you want me to go through all the background materials? Or does everybody read it? Or do you want me to read it all again? Do you want?
I don't need it read.
No, I've read it.
I think we've all read it. So. Okay, so Anna, why don't you speak to it, please? And then we'll go from there.
Basically, it's just a more of a housekeeping issue. On the first one, we've had a couple of council meetings that have run late, and the current procedural bylaw just says that we have a curfew until 10 o'clock, but it doesn't say how we're dealing with it after. So by adding this to it, it's clarifying that at 10 o'clock is our curfew. We're only extending it long enough to finish what's on the table. Everything else has to be moved forward.
Amen.
And the second one...
do you want to speak to them one at a time? Or
sure.
Just all the one?
Sure.
The only comment I have on the first one there is that I like the idea behind this. It's great, but I think we need to make it a little bit simpler. And 6.6 as it stands right now is just a pretty simple sentence. Meeting shall automatically adjourn at 10 p.m. unless otherwise determined by resolution passed by a majority of members present.
Right.
Why not just extend the time to 11? Maybe that'll resolve everything. There won't be a need for extensions.
Won't that automatically guarantee, though, that the meetings will go to 11 where needed?
No.
Why not?
It could end at 8. That's whenever you're done.
Wouldn't it raise the expectation that we could go to 11?
No.
I don't think so. No. The problem is there's, and I've discussed this with Ina, there's a good chance that your 10 p.m. curfew could be in a closed session, and you're not supposed to extend the meeting in a closed session. You have to do it by resolution. So then it brings up the issue of coming to the closed session.
Sorry, Rich, could you read it again? Sorry.
The regular?
Yeah, the original.
So meetings shall be automatically adjourned at 10 p.m. unless otherwise determined by resolution passed by the majority of members present.
It's pretty simple.
So you just change that to 11 instead of 10.
Yeah. Is that agreeable?
Is that agree with you, I think?
Yeah, that's okay with me. What we'll have to do, we'll have to defer because it's in the bylaw. It's in the bylaw, so I'll have to redo the bylaw. So we just defer it actually on our next meeting on the 20th. We can deal with it then.
Okay, can't just hand read it in the bylaw. Well, I guess your bylaw has this whole big resolution. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it does make it difficult then.
Mm-hmm. But we could defer it to the 20th.
I do have some notes on the other one too, so.
Okay,
well, why don't you go with the notes of the day? Anybody else have anything on 6.6? I mean, the idea is that we're not going past 11 o'clock, period.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anything that has not been covered in the agenda goes defers to the next meeting.
And if it goes to 11, there's a pretty good chance it would be enclosed anyway, so you just.
In all likelihood, it might.
Yeah, if you're in closed session, it would be, so you just end it wherever you're at.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just want to add a comment. You know, there's a pretty good chance that the meetings have been running late since the change from two meetings a month to one meeting a month. You're trying to cover twice as much material, and the way that the proposed amendment for the bylaw was written, there's a chance you would never catch up with the business at hand because you'd be putting out to the next monthly meeting and you would just get this, backlog. So I'm still a proponent for two meetings a month at some point, making that change. So,
any more adjustments to 6.6? Okay, so the intent from what I'm gathering is we will defer that till the next meeting and reword. Mm-hmm. That's my understanding.
6.41, that's just helping to prepare council by allowing them to have the closed packages prior to the meeting. Currently, what the bylaw sets out is that you get it at the time of the meeting, which means that you're getting documentation that you're not being prepared for. So by making that change, you're getting the closed package at the same time as the regular package, which is giving you a few days so that you can actually go over and see what's in the package.
Okay. And that's done individually?
Yes, it will be done
because
individually.
Each person is their own confidential
situation. Yes.
So there's a little sharing of that discussion or anything like that with the other council members.
And the rationale is there that all council members have sworn an oath when they became council members. So they should be able to be entrusted with a closed package.
There is one spelling mistake in the second page at the top.
Okay. Well,
it's going to
get changed.
Go ahead.
So, 6.41, do you want me to read out the amendment? I have the whole thing, or just where to add it in? Or does it make it easier if I just read the whole thing?
Just read your whole word.
In the event the clerk receives items for a closed meeting, they shall be placed in the closed meeting agenda and shall be provided to members with a regular agenda package. And after package, or if there is no regular council meeting within the same time frame as in 6.113 of the procedural bylaw, in a separate closed agenda package marked confidential. So this doesn't deal with if there's just a closed meeting.
Right.
So you have to deal with that too as well.
Yep.
And then while we're on the subject, 6.113, which I said in here, should be amended too, because it says Thursday, should say Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Might as well make that amendment at the same time.
Yeah, so basically what we're going to do is this resolution, we're going to just defer it. We'll bring everything back on the 20th.
Okay.
Okay.
So if you want the wording ahead, please. But
yeah, I'll talk to you in a minute.
Okay, so we are just going to defer that resolution, right?
Yep. Can I see the resolution? I just want to.
Can I just ask something, Ina?
Mm-hmm.
Did you do any research into it, put any thought into the talk we had about the motion to defer or a date? Oh, that's what you're doing, okay.
Further, the council does defer this matter to January 20th, 2022.
She'll probably read the whole thing.
Okay. Resolution 2204, moved by Councillor Kekkonen, seconded by Councillor Moore, that be resolved that the Council of the Township of Keller has hereby received staff report in Amendment 2022-01, amendments to the procedural bylaw number 2021-28 for information. And further, that council does defer this matter to January 20th, 2022. Is there any discussion?
So you already have the agenda for this meeting done. Are you going to amend it?
For the 20th?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That's closed session.
That's closed. That's today.
This is just the proposed.
That's just the notice.
Yeah, that's the one.
That's just the notice. Yes, that's That hasn't been posted yet.
Okay.
That was just for an approval.
Okay.
Call a question, all in favor?
We would have seen it somewhere.
Confirmed. So the second one deals with a staff report dealing with the mandatory vaccination policy. So resolution 2205, be resolved that the Council of Township of Dargo has hereby received staff report admin 2022-02. Mandatory vaccination policy for information. Can I have a mover and a seconder, please? It is recommended that the Council of the Township of McKellar is hereby approve the attached mandatory COVID-19 vaccination policy for Township employees, Mayor and Council members, Board, committee members, municipal bylaw officers, volunteers, and contractors visiting or working in municipal facilities. Full vaccination has been shown to be effective in reducing COVID-19 virus transmissions and protecting vaccinated individuals from severe consequences of COVID-19 and COVID-19 variants, including the Delta, Omicron, and any other variants that may come into circulation in Ontario. Given that the spread of COVID-19 includes the Delta, Omicron, and any other variants that may come into circulation within Ontario, the compelling data demonstrating a higher incidence of COVID-19 among the unvaccinated population and the increasing levels of contact between individuals as businesses, services, and activities have responded. It is important for Township employees to be fully vaccinated in order to protect themselves against serious illness from COVID-19, as well as to provide indirect protection to others, including colleagues. All employees will be required to achieve fully vaccinated status and provide proof of vaccine by specific dates. Exemption of this policy can only be guaranteed for reasons related to the protected grounds set out in the Human Rights Code or as a result of a medical examination which will require medical documentation from a certified physician in Ontario. For the purpose of this policy, only reference to employees shall also read to include mayor and council members, firefighters, students, municipal bylaw officers, volunteers, and contractors visiting or working in municipal facilities. So the financials are done, and the rest is straightforward. I think everybody's read that. So. So I think everybody understands the concern. And we've discussed this with our EMC group numerous times and haven't come to any consensus, really, other than we're very concerned that we have staff people who were involved with the community that are not vaccinated. And that could cause a risk to not only themselves, but also to the safety of our community. So that's the overall concern. So what I did was that I went and met with Dave Thompson the other day on a variety of matters dealing with the EMS services. But I first asked him, what is happening with mandatory vaccinations across the board? And he basically came back with that Seguin has a firm policy done, approved. Others are working on it. Whitestone is not working on one. Carly and Archipelago are working on something. McDougall just voted 3-2 not to put in a mandatory policy based on the premise that if it's going to be mandatory, the province should make that decision, not the municipalities. So even though individual companies are doing them, like hospitals, seniors homes and stuff like that, it's not a mandated thing by the province that everybody has to be vaccinated. So that's sort of what's happening in the area. And then we have this one coming forward for discussion purposes. So that's the background that I have gathered and knowing what other areas are doing. So, but I haven't heard exactly what Carling are doing. I don't think we've got that yet.
I haven't heard anything
There's nothing from Whitestone, and I know that the Acapella would have worked on something, but it's not forthwith at this point. Anyway, I'd like to know everybody else's opinion of what we should be doing with this particular issue.
I think it's important for us, as the very least, as an employer, to have a policy about it, admitting that whatever we decide could easily be overwritten by the province and or the feds, for that matter, and that it changes probably almost daily. But I do think it's important for us to at least have a stake in the ground that says this is what our expectation is. In general, I agree with the policy as written. I did write to IDA yesterday and copied each of you about the policy about whether a physician can give you a letter. It's very clear to me. Since I sent that, I went to the North Bay Parish Sound Health Unit page and found pretty much exactly the same policy that they have. In other words, if a doctor wants to give you an exemption, they have to get approval from the health unit in order to be able to do so, in which case you would get a QR code that you would use wherever you go, including, you know, in the township. And I think it's important to do that. The only other thing that, in general, I don't know how to resolve the problems is that because this changes, I think, with great frequency, and I honestly believe most of the major portions of this policy change weekly, if not more often than that, it's very difficult to do it and to tie ourselves down. The first thing I wrote on the resolution actually was about quote-unquote fully vaccinated, because the term as it's been used for the last month or more, 2 months, meant that you had 2 vaccine shots, and of course now there's the booster shot, and actually now in, I can't remember, somewhere in Canada now there's people giving a fourth booster, or a second booster, or a fourth shot, and all the rest, and I suspect that it will continue to change as rapidly as we could ever write it down. So in other words, I don't really have a problem with what we're saying, other than I think it's specific enough that it would, you know, could be read and said, well, I had my 2 shots, so I'm okay. Well, it, you know, or whatever the current provincial policy is, I think is really the way to get around those problems, right? Because obviously we don't know what the hell the government will do tomorrow. So I've said enough about it, but I would like to change the issue about the exemption to cover what, and I think the best thing to do is refer back to the North Bay Parry Sound Health Unit, because, you know, that's our health unit. But when I compared it to what I saw from Halliburton yesterday, it was, you know, undoubtedly from the same source. It was only minor variances in words. So, anyway.
The other thing that Dave did say was that what Perry Sound did, and they said that I think most of it else, they're supposed to have a policy dealing with this, a written policy. So this is, we're trying to develop a written policy, because we don't have a written policy on it. So that was one thing, too. And what they did was they've done educational programs. They have a 30-minute video which all employees, those that aren't vaccinated, have to take. Then there's certain equipment that they must wear if they're in a truck out on emergency calls, and that's a full mask on. They didn't say anything about rapid testing, but I've heard that from other municipalities where person X is not vaccinated, before he can go into that facility, he's got to, twice a week or whatever, he's got to get a rapid test that's clean. And at his time and his expense. So those are other options and other things that have been bandied around, but there's no consistency anywhere.
And the problem with the rapid tests are pretty well proven. They're 33% accurate.
Well, I realize that. So at least it's an attempt to try and find out what's going on. But I mean, what concerns me is that we know we have some employees that way, and if they're dealing with the public on emergency purposes and stuff like that, or within their own confines and their own peers, that could be a problem.
My biggest concern is employees dealing with the public, you know, like whether it be firefighters, building officials, by law enforcement, going into people's homes.
Yeah.
Well, that's to me, that's a whole different issue.
the big issue that I see is no matter what we write down, no matter how up to date we are, even if we're up to the minute, you know, like a week later, there's something that will have changed. Mm-hmm. I mean, the only thing perhaps we could do is put in a phrase that the policy will be amended or updated. as changes become evident. But
as
I mean,
the original standards change.
Yeah, because you know, we can't predict what's going to happen, so which we could.
Well, my anticipation on this was that this is a starting point.
Yeah.
And that we would be making amendments from there. So again, my thought was this is we've got the basics,
yep.
and we can defer it and work on it and bring it back at the next regular council meeting.
It looked like to me south of us, I did some little bit of research, and it looked to me south of us in the Muskoka region, the region themselves come up with a policy, and the municipalities just kind of adopted that policy. We don't have a region here, but their policies give three options: fully vaccinated, in the process of getting vaccinated, and then you do testing and whatever. And the third option was training, like you were saying. So you had those three options, and if you had done one of those three options, then you were considered to meet the policy.
I think it's
I'm not sure what training does, but
some of the ones I've seen too, there's a time limit that you give people. You know, if they have 3 months or 2 months or whatever to get vaccinated. So there is a process. So, and that those were developed through a human resource lawyer. I think that was the advice that they gave me for that one. The counter arguments that I've heard from volunteer firefighters is that we've got some people that we may lose some volunteer firefighters because they're adamant that they're not going to get vaccinated. So if we have a strict policy that their term is ended because they're not vaccinated, then that's the risk that you take that we would lose people. And these are volunteer firefighters, which are, you know, very critical to our services. So there's saw-offs on all sides. What they're doing now with Westbury Sound, they did lay off some people in the hospital, but now they're so short of people in the hospital, they've had to bring some people back in. So even though they're not necessarily vaccinated, trying to get them as free as possible. So it's not an easy issue by any means, but I think this is a start, at least having an open discussion on it. I think we have to get as much information as we can with input from everybody. We have to get a human resource expert to look at it and come up with a policy to see where we can go. Because it could change in, who knows. I mean, but what's gone on in 2 years, I mean, it's pretty. Do you have any thoughts?
And that's the point, is that the information is continually evolving. There's statements in this policy that are no longer accurate. Full vaccination has been shown to be effective in reducing COVID-19 virus transmissions. That's no longer accurate. A couple of weeks ago, when they were still reporting the fully vaccinated cases who are able to catch and transmit COVID, it was 864 of the 1,604 cases. And when you jump from 300 cases a day to 16,000, and you've increased your fully vaccinated rate to close to 90%, that doesn't line up with a statement such as this. As far as I'm concerned, you know, there's a partnership between the federal government, the provincial government, and local health units. I'm a counselor. I'm not going to make medical decisions for any other individual. There's those entities in place that have the resources and the expertise to make any mandates, which they have, and that's the only position I will take on this. You know, there's some type of policy is good, but not one that overrides our jurisdiction, basically.
The only counter to that is that we know that a lot of businesses have made their own decisions. You know, I know even my own son's company, which is international, they've laid down the law 6 months ago and have now terminated, you know, quite a few of their people. And that's just the way it is. It's business, and that's the way it is. We're dealing with people. So it's happened all over the place. So, but it is across the map. Mm-hmm. And I think if we're going to do a policy, we've got to make sure that it's done for the proper reasons. It's got to be valid, and it's got to be enforceable, and it's got to give people options to evolve towards it. And, so that's all I'm going to say. So all we're doing right now is receiving this,
and getting comments back for RNET or take a look at other things and follow up. Is there any other suggestions for RNET?
To Mike's point, we could soften it by, rather than calling it a policy, we could call it guidelines. I mean, it's not just a word, but I mean, in other words, we're not intending this to be the final statement on this, because exactly. I don't think there ever will be one.
Exactly.
And the only other thing we could do in terms of direction to management, I think we have that in here at some point or two, is to bring matters of concern back to the council, or back to the admin, right, to you. Mm-hmm. Because no doubt whatever we know today will be different next week. But, but I do like that you covered training in it, and I think having a policy is infinitely better than having nothing. I know we said the policy, but a guideline.
We're supposed to have a guideline policy, so we have to do that. So it's a matter of what we're going to do.
Well, I have another point here.
Sure.
You know, basically, I think it's important that we adhere to the current public health protocols that are in place, which includes having a safety plan, and that's available in Ontario Regulation 364.20 and 363.20 as well. And you know, it's important, you know, to show that we're at least in you know, in line with what's currently expected, and you know, jump into a full-fledged, you know, medical procedures for staff. And maybe we're not even aligned with current policies. So I think we need to start at the basics on what the expectations are.
Although, if you look at page 4, Mike, the meeting starts off by saying, in partnership with the North Bay Ferry Sound District Health Unit, the Township of McKellar will continue to review and assess health and safety protocols to mitigate the risk of COVID-19 in the workplace and community. And I think those are very favorable statements. In other words, this is not etched in stone. It's not a one-time policy that will just be around. It's something that needs to continue to evolve, and no doubt the health unit itself has to continue to evolve.
Yeah, thank you. I understand that. But one of the expectations is that there's a safety plan in place that's in a conspicuous place, that anyone that wants to see it can receive a copy of that.
Sure.
And, you know, in conjunction with the Perry Sound Health Unit. So that's a good starting place, is to have one of those. The McKellar Market had an extensive one. I think there's one in place for the skating rink. So I think there's one required for the other units or departments of the municipality as well.
Any other comments? So we're amending it and adding in, and further, that the resolution be deferred to have the policy/guidelines revised and turned to council at the next regular meeting on February 2022. Any further discussion?
Can you read the full resolution?
Be it resolved that the Council of Township of McKellar does hereby receive staff report admin 2022-02, mandatory vaccination policy for information. And further, that this resolution be deferred to have the policy/guidelines revised and returned to council at the next regular meeting on February 8th, 2022. Further discussion? Call the question. All in favor?
I guess they're on the left for me, the members of the creature and the means.
Who's speaking? You're not supposed to be speaking.
No.
Next is the accounts payable. So, Shannon, do you want to comment on this? Or is there any questions on it? So we have resolution 2206. Be resolved that the Council of Township of McKellar is hereby receiving the accounts payable check run report for information. Should I put a date on that? Is there a particular date? That's for the month of December?
Yeah.
Month of December, yeah. December 2021.
Yeah.
Thank you. Any questions? Mover and second, Councillor Keckman and Councillor Moore. Any discussion? Councillor Keckman?
Yeah, just want to say thank you very much. Greatly appreciate it. I think it's very helpful. We can review this kind of information, and then we can look at it, you know, after we have reviewed it, and with confidence, you know, be able to confirm that things are being dealt with responsibly. So appreciate being able to have this information before council.
Thank you.
Second that.
Okay. Any further discussion? Call the question, all in favor? Carry, thank you. So next there's two parts. One is the mayor's report, one is the annual report. Just to give you a quick update on the mayor's report, I really think we should be thanking all our volunteers who have taken the time to organize our programs and activities for our community. Unfortunately, when our EMC met, we had to follow our new provincial guidelines and everything had to be canceled. Hopefully, we will resume our new normal or normal programs after the provincial guidelines are changed next January the 25th. So stay tuned and stay safe, because we don't know what they're going to be. I do want to thank Scott Rickey, who's our member of our Public Works Department, for getting up early every morning to provide us with the best outdoor ice in the area, which is being enjoyed by many. And congratulations to Julie and Denny Hare for their first place photo for Light Up McKellar before Christmas, followed by Sandra and Mark Little for second place. The next Recreation Committee virtual event is Get Outdoors McKellar. Send photos of you and your family being active outdoors through Joyce Hopkins and the emails here. We encourage everyone to get vaccinated, follow all protocols, avoid large groups, and stay safe. And unfortunately, on a sad note, former longstanding chair, excellent chair of the Library Board, Ann Podocnik, recently passed away and will be sorely missed by her friends and family. Council updates, I just mentioned our EMC meeting, in which we closed everything down. The rink, the library, and the office remain open with strict numbers. And again, we're in Zoom meetings. At 3 p.m. today, the area mayors met with a Zoom call with the minister, or with the MPP, I'm sorry. I thought it was going to be the minister. With Norm. And regarding considering building of a new mega school in Parry Sound, requesting keeping it from grade 7 to 12 and keeping one or two elementary schools in the dual open. What they're really asking for is to stop what they're doing right now and have a new arc and get the stats up to date and adapt the school to what the stats really talk about, because they're 214 data and it's not irrelevant. They're going to have five or six portables now, a small gym, it's not regulation, and have the K to 6s in one defined area and 7 to 12 in another area. And I think mixing the two groups are disastrous socially and educationally. So that's coming up. Yeah, we're planning meetings coming up, which we're dealing with the roads budget priorities. The annual report will be posted. And there's a couple of meetings are canceled. The Historical Committee and Sesquicentennial Committee are canceled for January. Lake Stewardship is Thursday. Library is the 24th. And our EMC is going to be on the 25th, when we're going to know about new or same provincial guidelines. And the Rec Committee is going on the 27th. This will be circulated to everybody. Thanks, Mary, for doing all the beautification of it. Appreciate that. The annual report was circulated and got some good comments back. We made some changes. I'm just going to highlight it and then it'll be posted. That's a good copy there. So just just give me a second here. I just did a bit of an overview, and I won't go forward with all the details, but it's been a very, very crazy year, to say the least. We had hoped to do a whole bunch of things and get out of COVID and get a whole bunch of things passed and approved, and didn't happen. So the summer we spent moving towards these issues to get a positive, risk-free and open situation. We learned that many aspects of our action plan were simply just put on hold. By Christmas, we replaced two counselors and our TRIP administrator, reorganized many staff functions, provided stopgap measures for various issues, and improved communication, and worked diligently to reopen our facilities program safely. And now we're developing some priorities for the next year that will add value to McKellar. Council is determined to end on a high note, working together to improve our roads, launch our new website, provide a reasonable budget, enhance connectivity, deal with a variety of environmental issues. And we will continue to be involved in the West Parry Sound Area projects, committees, and organizations while planning for our 150th anniversary. Really got to give a heartfelt thanks to our staff and council and committee members and our citizens for holding steadfast in the midst of all these difficulties. It hasn't been easy, but they kept going. But some of the highlights, and there's about 40 highlights, just that we received the final report of our ad hoc committee. I mentioned that because I had spent 3 years working with this wonderful group of people coming up with a final report, and now they're into some action items. We approved the new roads policy. Well, now we're working on some amendments. We received a multi-million-dollar grant from Cogeco to build Backbone. We approved the West Parry Sound Wellness Center. Received a grant, $100,000, for our historical walking bridge. Special thanks to Jan Gibson for the best market, the color market ever. Our CBO has reported a record number of building permits with some exceeding expenses for the first time. We ended in the black with a small carryover surplus for 2022. Many of our local businesses and farms, along with the camp and the ridge, managed to had good years. It was very interesting to see all the various virtual events that were held to enhance the sense of community, and they worked out very well, whether it was a COVID virtual fish derby that we had, Light Up McKellar, a virtual tour of McKellar, etc. So they were all pretty positive things. Our MP was Scott Aitchison, was re-elected, and Norm Miller is retiring. And we just special thanks to Norm for all his years of service. And just on that note, I would like to, with your permission, invite him to a council meeting and make him an honorary member of McKellar for all his years of service for us. But if you would like that, I could arrange that to happen. So I think he deserves it. He was helping us again today. So anyway. Just for priorities, and I know we're coming up, we've been trying to get priorities discussed since last July, if you look at any of the documentation. So, and with all the stuff going on, we haven't been able to. So we're trying to get a meeting in which we can have an open discussion on what we can do for the last year. And, you know, one of the ones is just to continue with our sesquicentennial celebration organization. We have deferred and not been able to celebrate our excellent community volunteers. We're hoping to do that with a barbecue in the fall once we get that. That was one of the things we talked about. There's lots. Anyway, the idea is that there's lots going on. There's lots to do. We have to decide on which ones we can do financially and whatever. My preference would be I'd like to get the reuse tent and the bottle recycling program up, but we can't with COVID-19. So if we get COVID-19 ends, those are two really good things that are well received at the meeting. It was suggested that we develop, and I might get this wrong, but a communication plan so that we have electronic mailing for notices and we have a systematic way in which we communicate with the community on a regular basis. So
You know, there's always a better way of doing something if you're looking for one. Even though it's been a tough year on many fronts, council would sincerely like to thank our resilient and hardworking staff, our creative and dedicated community and committee volunteers for their ongoing support and belief in what we're trying to accomplish. Not everyone will agree with everything we do, but council will strive to continue to be open, transparent, listen to our community while making evidence-based decisions that add value to McKellar. On behalf of council, we wish you a happy, safe, prosperous, and involved 2022 on behalf of myself and four councillors. There it is. Yeah.
You said that's going to be posted right
yeah.
now?
Yeah.
And it's on behalf of the mayor and council. If my name's going to be attached to it, I'd like to see it before it gets posted. Either that or just take
well,
my
I
name
sent
off.
It to you before, and you just never made me any specific comments. I took pretty well most of the specific comments and did some edits and revised.
I'd like to read it first before it gets posted.
That's fine.
Either that or take my name off of one or the other.
I can do that too.
Suit yourself.
What are your wishes?
I could care less.
Absolutely. There is.
if I can't read it, I don't want my name on it.
Yeah. There is, you know, when you talk about communication and you expect some input, and there's input submitted. And now you've read the exact copy that you submitted that we were meant to provide some input on. So
yeah. And I changed a lot of it.
Yeah. Well, it's with good consideration to your fellow councillors, anyone with consideration would allow them to see it before you bring it to the meeting and read it out. So appreciate that in the future. That's just a basic consideration.
You appreciate how much time it takes to develop this and get it done and ask for input, get the revisions in, and then have it typed up ready for posting. So if you want to write the report next year, go ahead. This is an overview of council, of what we've done over the year. It hasn't been an easy year, and I don't think we should say it's an easy year. It was a very tough year. But we did a lot, and we came through it. And now we're working towards the next final year.
So what's wrong with letting the council read it?
I have no problem letting the unit read it. So, but it should get posted pretty soon.
So even if we read it, there's not going to be any more changes. It's getting posted.
I didn't say that.
So okay. I don't want, if my name's going to be on it, then I don't want to post it. Either that or I get to read it before it gets posted.
Then it will be circulated to you tomorrow.
Very good. Thank you.
But I'd like some feedback.
You got some last time.
Yeah.
You did so.
They said there was some negativity. Didn't say anything about anything else.
And once Mike did some changes, I agreed with his changes. So there.
Well, you agreed with his changes.
Yes.
I don't have to agree with
Isn't that input?
That's input. Yeah.
So don't tell me I didn't have any input. I did.
Just in regards to the mayor's report, there's a environmental lake stewardship ad hoc or committee meeting this Thursday.
Okay.
Is it possible for the clerk administrator to post the agenda and access information of that meeting for the public so they can attend that meeting?
That can be provided to me. Yeah, I can get that posted.
Great. Thank you very much.
Yeah, Susan Adams would have all that information. And she's got that all through Mary. Yeah. Well, through Nick.
Yep.
Okay, thank you.
I don't have it with me, but I do have it at home.
Okay.
Okay.
Just
2207, be it resolved that the Council of the Township of McKellar is hereby give bylaw number 2022-01, being a bylaw to authorize borrowing money to meet current expenditures of Council of the Township of McKellar, first and second reading, and further read a third time, and pass an open council this 11th day of January 2022. Mover and seconder, please. Mr. Moore. Mr. Ryland. Any discussion? Councilor Kekkonen.
So this is just a regular bylaw that's passed every January in that interim period at the end of the previous fiscal year and to meet the expense needs until the budget of the current year is passed. Is that correct?
That's correct. And I haven't seen we ever use that, borrowing from the bank, but we pass every year. Fine.
Yep.
In case of emergency we need.
Okay, thank you.
Any further discussion? Call the question, all in favor? Here. Resolution 2208, be resolved that the Township of McKellar is hereby given bylaw number 2022-02, being a bylaw to levy certain rates, taxes, and charges for the year 2022, a first and second reading, and further read a third time, and pass an open council this 11th day of January 2022. Have a mover and seconder, please. Mr. Wood? Professor Ryan? Any discussions? Ray, do you want to speak to?
No. Yeah, just can you just go through this bylaw, what this one pertains to? If the treasurer could just explain the how this bylaw works.
Basically, it's a bylaw allows us to charge 50% of the last year's taxes as an interim basis, and that's what we have been used. We've been passing bylaw every year, and we need to pass the bylaw so we can charge the 50% of the taxes, whatever the previous year's taxes were.
And then that amount is part of the becomes part of the budget process.
No, it's not part of the budget because we don't know the final numbers of what's going to be the final taxes. So this is the practice pretty much everybody, every municipality does, that they charge 50% of previous year's taxes and then they send the bills. So once we get the final number, which will be maybe April, May, then we send another bill, whatever the balance of it.
Right, yes. Okay, so that's the adjustment gets made in the budget.
That's right.
Okay, yeah, thank you.
Okay. Any further questions? Hearing none, call the question. All in favor? Here, thank you. Business, we have two items. Resolution 2209, that the Council of Township of McKellar has hereby received a verbal update on the direction given staff from the deputation of Robert Harvey on December 14th, 2021. We have a mover and a second, please. Councilor Moore. Second. Mr. Ryan. So,
this is just a copy of the letter that I've passed that was sent out to Mrs. Dixon in December. I have yet to hear anything from her. So if it's all right with council, I will reach out to her again and see if we can get a response before we look at other options.
And the idea was, I think, to meet to try and get a common sense right away resolve just amongst the parties that are there rather than going to any litigation.
I'm not aware of where anyone else was in the process because I wasn't part of that.
Yes.
And so I was really hoping that I could touch base with her at least to find out where it stood, because I know there were discussions of possible expropriation. There were different options that were discussed. I just kind of like to know where we stand before we move forward. So I was kind of hoping that I would have heard from her.
So the next letter will be a little bit firmer. That will be taken the next.
That we have to take the next steps. If we don't get a response, we'll have to look at other options.
Do you know if she's here and out of way on vacation?
As far as I know, I don't think anybody's away on vacation.
Well, you'd be surprised.
Well, yeah. But as far as I know, she's here. And it is a post office box here, so it's not like she hasn't received it. So.
Any further discussion?
I mean, other than I could think that you could reach out to Mr. Harvey if he'd know if she was here or not.
Sure, I can give him a phone call in the morning and find out. Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay. Any further discussion? Call a question on favor. Here, thank you. Next one deals with the, I think we deferred this one. This was a request to support Seguin's just fast-tracking land use and bypassing a normal public input, and the council felt it should be on hold. So do resolution 22-10, that the council township government is hereby received additional information from the township of Seguin with respect to seeking minister's zoning order to establish the principle of residential development on lands in the northwest portion of the township, and further that the council of McKellar require time to review the information provided and does hereby defer the request for support at the regular meeting of council on February the 8th. Mover and second, please. Councilor Moulin, second. Anybody? It's on the table. You want to speak to it first?
No, I don't really have a lot to
so
say right now.
Usually the person who moves can speak to it first.
Yeah, I don't really have much more to say to it.
And I just received it yesterday.
Yeah, so we have to review it. We're not going to act on it. So it's pretty straightforward.
Yeah.
Okay. Any further discussion?
I have a decision on February 8th, I guess.
So it's being deferred to
next council meeting.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
All in favor? Here. Okay, we have two things on new business.
I didn't create.
And that's okay. Well,
because I wanted you to speak on it because I wasn't sure
Let's just bring them up and see where we're at with them. So I guess Councilor Kekkonen brought them forward, so we'll let him speak to air purifiers in the municipal office. Go ahead, you have the floor.
You know, early on in COVID, I noticed they probably had these in place prior to that, but a lot of the dental offices, they had these air purifiers, and talked to one of the employees, and, you know, they thought at first they were skeptical of, you know, the effectiveness of them. But after actually monitoring it and just, you know, seeing when certain things were going on and how it was reacting, and just, you know, the change in the air quality, they realized that it actually was performing to the expectations. Public Health Ontario has a question and answer, frequently asked question document, use of portable air cleaners and transmission of COVID-19. And that's easily found in a Google search, 8 pages. Just this one paragraph here. In the context of COVID-19 transmission, source control approaches may include screening and expulsion of symptomatic individuals, or exclusion of symptomatic individuals, applying limits on the number of occupants within an enclosed space, physical distancing and masking. Ventilation can also contribute to risking overall risk and can be optimized to varying degrees depending on the system. If these methods are insufficient or cannot be achieved, the use of a portable air cleaner can be considered. In addition to the use of portable air cleaners to complement existing HVAC filtration and ventilation in schools, offices, and commercial buildings may be considered, particularly in areas where sufficient ventilation is difficult to achieve. Portable air cleaners are not intended for building-wide application, but rather localized areas such as a single room. So, according to Public Health Ontario, it can be part of a risk mitigation process. And I think if we're talking about being employers trying to mitigate risk for employees, that this can be part of, you know, the strategy that we incorporate. So I don't know if there's other departments that could benefit from units like this, just for overall improvement to air quality, council chambers, whatever. And I just wanted to bring this forward. I already brought it forward in the fall of 2020, and never went anywhere with the individuals I mentioned it to, so I thought at this point I would bring it to council meeting, so it is one of the options that we look at.
Any sense of what, like, the unit costs and how many we need?
So that was, I was looking through the budget to see if we still had funds available through the COVID funding that we had received from the different levels of government, and if we needed to allocate funds, and if there was any available from those funding streams. But I think they're about $5,000 per unit. There's different manufacturers, different quality, you know, sizes, rates of airflow, etc. But so I just wanted to put an option forward for consideration, and just maybe determine how much funding is still available in the COVID funding that we received from upper levels of government.
And do you know how many units? Do you know how many units we would need if we were just talking about the complex here?
Well, at the that would be according to whatever the calculation is for airflow and air volume. So, yeah. So that would have to be considered at that time.
Do you have to do a study first? You have to have someone come in and assess the quality of the air. I would think that you have to do that before you know what, otherwise just buying in bulk without any rationale.
So there is a company in Toronto that distributes these. They have contact numbers, so anyone that wanted to inquire could basically look at what the application is. But it does say that these are used, you know, in... one system can easily clean very large spaces in medical clinics, dental offices, commercial businesses, assisted living, and general office spaces. So these are high-quality units.
So it's just portable and plugged in?
That's correct, yeah.
So we wouldn't go through the HVAC system of the building or of the section?
That's probably in a higher-grade unit. Yeah. But these are plug-in, 120 portable.
Okay. so you can move one into room here tonight, for example.
Yeah, that's right. You have to have one in here all the time.
Yeah, so could you know,
lots of hot air room. Lots of hot air. Sorry. No, I think it's a great idea. What would the next steps be, Mike?
So there is a contact, I guess, look at how much funding we have available, and then, you know, make an inquiry through the contact distributor and just to run it by them and see, you know, what kind of unit would be applicable, just to get sort of a rundown of, you know, the size areas that we have. And they probably have the list of questions that they would like to answer, so.
I'm going to hand this over to you to approve it before it's...
Oh, okay.
Wait, in case I miss anything.
I think it's sort of simple, just inquire further into portable air purifier unit for use within the municipal.
Would we consider one for the community center?
I was thinking for, you know, the movie nights, sure. So even some of the recreational programming, possibly the library might be interested in something like that. So there's different areas that might benefit from using one extra strategy for decreasing or mitigating risks. So.
I recall when I built my house that we had to have I don't know what it was officially called, an HVAC plan that was drawn out and measured airflow to and from the different rooms in the house and everything else. It was prepared by a fellow in Perry Sound, although I couldn't for the life of me think of his name. I still have it at home. Is that worthwhile going down that route? Does anybody just, you know, for advice as to where to go for an air purifier?
I don't know whether they could do that kind of design or not, because they don't do air quality tests. They just do a design based on what the parameters are in the building.
Yeah.
Where are they getting to the schools when they're coming in trying to, they must be going on their HVAC systems.
There's a company in Bear that does air quality testing. I know that because I had to bring them in for the houses that were condemned because they were grow-ups.
Yeah, because I know for the schools, they keep saying now they've got air filters in all schools, although I have real trouble believing that that's
actually
right. I've seen units like this. I've seen these type of units in schools.
But, I mean, it may be more effective, or it may just be a lot more costly if we did it through HVAC. I don't know, but...
Yeah.
Well, I'm just going to get some more information.
Yeah.
Further exploring. Trying to give you enough time to write.
Yeah. Should we send you on a speed writing course? I don't know if there is such a thing. But I'm joking anyway. I'm joking. I'm not serious. So you're far more patient than I would be with this kind of thing. So. No, I think it's a great idea if we can do it. Who knows, maybe it has health benefits too. So.
Maybe.
The employees that I had talked to, they felt very confident in the units because they seen how sensitive they were to different changes within the environment, and they were monitoring it, and they felt very confident with the units. So.
Also, know while I was still working, there was concern about newer buildings with all the chemicals that leach into the air, mostly from things like carpet and everything else in there too. So, and there was a lot of work that was done that way. And you know, we kind of tend to think about, you know, so what. But truthfully, you felt better once it was in place. And whether that's the you know, psychosomatic, I don't know. But it, I mean, honestly, it was a good thing because you realize all the stuff that's in the air that comes out of everything around us. And the upholstery and everything else, it's, you know, a positive thing, so.
Mm-hmm. And I think in the literature it was talking about VOCs and different, so yeah, there was health benefits.
But there was a bunch of old farts like me that all rolled their eyes at that, and then when it was done, you go, yeah, this is a good thing. Yeah, it does feel different.
I'm going to get Mike to read it first, in case I he can add anything onto it.
Be it resolved that the Council of Township McKellar has received the documents with respect to indoor air purifiers for information and further direct staff to investigate available funding for purchasing portable air purifiers and further inquire on the costs and providers of the units. We move in a second. Any discussion? Call a question, all in favor? The second one deals with the food cycler. You want to speak to that too?
Sure. So one of the things that with waste disposal that is always sort of taken into consideration is the materials that could be composted to reduce the amount going to landfill in this case, in our case, because we are not a landfill site, it's a transfer station, we're paying to have it transferred, plus paying for the tonnage that gets disposed of, and then it's going into, you know, landfill and creating the different type of greenhouse gases that we are concerned about. So there's different options we could do on-site composting, which would require infrastructure for the township to put in place, township staff, township equipment, and there's a science to it. You don't just put a compost pile. You have to have the right ingredients, the right temperatures, the right pH. There's a science. Not only that, we have to have an update to our certificate approval for the waste disposal site, and the MOE would be involved in the process. The other option is a partnership with a neighboring municipality who are currently, you know, doing a composting program. This would require, again, a cost to the township and an update to that municipality's certificate of approval. So again, with the MOE involvement for the, arranging or allowing that partnership. So the Perry Sound North Star, had a great article. So actually PerrySound.com, Sarah Bissonette had a great article on what Perry Sound is doing regarding this. And they're in a partnership with a company, Impact Canada, which is subsidizing these food cyclers. And so there's two different options even with those. There's a commercial unit that would be at the transfer station. And it's a three-step process. You add food scraps to the unit. So if you have the household unit, there's a bucket. You put it in there, place the bucket in that unit, press start, and within hours you have compost. And so ideally with composting, you know, it's been tried in the past that you have composting units available at the township. They're sold to the public, and you encourage composting within the municipality at the personal residences, which is ideal because then there's not this transport of material, you know, anywhere. It's being dealt with right on at site, and they're being able to utilize the material that's produced right on site, their lawn, their garden, the forest, whatever. So so Perry Sound is January 18th, they're having a report presented to Perry Sound Council about a pilot project with these food cyclers. And I believe there is enough of an interest and concern about The lack of composting, that this is something that McKellar should be considering as the primary option for engaging in a composting program here within McKellar Township. So this is...
This has been on the topic list for the Environmental Committee for 2 years. We have a person in town, Koski, who's on the board and on the MLCA, who has been instrumental in pushing this forward over time. And so, you know, I think we should explore it and possibilities, and even with the Environmental Committee, they're very keen on looking at this type of thing. And I think that it would be good for them to take a look at it and put it one of their action items and bring it forward. So her name is, she's got three K's. K, Karen?
Yeah.
Karen
Koski is her last name.
Claire Koski. That was with a K, though. That threw me off. So she's been very much involved with it, so they're kind of meeting on Thursday anyway, yep. So if you can bring it up. Perfect. Do we need a resolution to it, or just...
Mm-hmm. Mike, do you have information you could share with me to share with the Environment Committee?
Yes, you can...
I can't find that in my package, but that doesn't...
Here, you can take this right here.
Yeah.
This has all the information.
Good. Thank you.
Okay. Good, thank you.
Yeah, and it's the PerrySound.com newspaper article as well. And it describes the partnership between Impact Canada so that when this pilot project goes out, the units are about close to $500 each,
yeah.
But with the subsidized partnership with Impact Canada, I think it works out that the town, it's highlighted on that page there, Nick, right
yeah.
Where you are.
Yeah, I see it right there.
What
yeah.
is it, 100 and the town pays 100 and...
$150 to $100 per unit for the municipality. The cost to residents is $150 and $100 per unit to the municipality.
So yes, so that's...
retails for $500.
So if the municipality is paying $100 per unit, that, you know, when you look at the overall cost of any other composting program and even the greenhouse gas emissions from all the transport involved, mm-hmm. I think doing it at source is the most effective, efficient... productive way of dealing with it, with a net gain to the township with reduction in the transport and amount of tonnage of material that the township would have to be dealing with. So in the end, I think it would pay for itself.
I think in terms of the sheer weight of things that I take to the transfer station on a weekly basis, that food waste is probably, you know, 60-70% of the weight yeah. of the things that
yes.
I take.
That information is in there.
Is
the percentages are so.
It's always amazing to me. Pick up like kitchen garbage and bring it up. It's like this weighs a ton, and a lot of it is food, which is embarrassing to admit too. But anyway.
Okay, so we have a resolution 22-12. Be resolved that the Council of Township of McKellar hereby receives the information documents with respect to food cycling products and solutions, and further that the information be forwarded to the Lake Stewardship Environmental Committee for further investigation. The mover and a second. Second. Mr. Pickering, any discussion? Call the question, all in favor? Here, thank you. Usually they're making recommendations to us. Some of them are recommendations to them. Okay, so public meetings, I think the only one is going to be on the 20th.
Yes, we're going to be
following the meeting. January 20th. They're dealing with the fluoride.
Yes.
Okay. Any others that anybody's aware of? Okay. All right, so next one deals with the consent agenda. So we have resolution 22-13. Be resolved that the Council of Township McKellar has hereby received the consent agenda. Mover and seconder, please. Mr. Riley? Mr. Moore? Any discussion? Call a question on favor? Here. Now, is there any questions or comments from anyone on still on Zoom? They want to ask about items that were related on the agenda. Please identify yourself with your name, and we'll have Mary be sure that you are heard.
Hello, my name is Mark Hamill. I was listening to your about your vaccination. I was wondering if you've actually done a study as to how many you would lose between whether it's your Rose Department, Fire Department, Library, or any other department or such as Library, and if that also includes a thing like the McKellar Market, how many vendors you might lose there, how far your study has gone so far?
We've just done staff at this point in time, and we're trying to identify those and have a meeting with them. And we believe there are three staff between Rhodes and Volunteer Fire Department. The market, I don't know. I'd have to check with Jen.
Where would you get a number from three staffs if you just started or you haven't really acquired yet?
We've heard that from various sources over time, from the head of Rhodes, and I forget how we got the fire numbers.
So if the province is already looking at something, why don't we go beyond your reaches or grasps to try to find a way to implement or force people to do something that they believe may not be in their best interest, whether it's something like, I believe at one point in time they said that some things like thalidomide were perfectly fine and tested and were proven years later that had multiple birth defects in the millions and was, as they say, proven by studies to be perfectly fine. This vaccine is only a case study as it is now. Every person getting it is a study. You won't know the results for another 50 years when they release it. And right now they're pushing to get another 30 years above that, which puts it at 70 years, which means you will never know, but your kids and grandkids will know. And they're still the ones getting the vaccine now.
Right. We are just trying to develop a policy since we're supposed to have a policy on it. And so we're drafting that. We're getting more information. And then we'll come back to the table. And we expect input from yourself and other people. We haven't passed anything at this point in time. We're only gathering information and proceeding as we have done today.
Okay, thank you for your time.
Any other questions?
Like to speak, can you please unmute yourself? It just says owner's
icon. I'm not sure if that was for me, but Ron Harrison and Herbville just touched base about the vaccination policy. I just wanted to reiterate that it is very important that we support our staff, and that we have a decent amount of staff. I would believe your number with three is a decent estimate, Peter, and I do appreciate the municipality keeping the confidentiality of people's names, but I believe we do have more than that, and I think further to that, we have to make sure that whatever we do, we support the staff in every way possible, because the staff that we're looking at and the staff that we work with every day, those are the staff that have carried us through the pandemic without vaccination, safely, with all the PPE required.
Thank you. Any other questions?
There's no more, Barry?
No.
Okay. So, Resolution 22-14, be it resolved that the Council of Township McKellar, pursuant to Municipal Act SO 2001, has amended, move into closed session at
8:12 p.m.
to discuss the following items. Minutes of the closed meetings, personal matters for identifiable individuals, including municipal or local board employees, dealing with staffing issues, litigation or potential litigation, including matters before administrative tribunals affecting the municipality or local board. 239-2E, appeals of zoning bylaw 2019-23, Ontario Land Tribunal update. Get a mover and a seconder, please. Second, Councilor Riley. Any discussion? Call a question, all in favor? Here, thank you.